Today's shiur's in Masechet Bava Metzi on Daf Nun Ches. We will begin on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, the second last line in the middle of the line, where the Gemara quotes the words of the Mishnah on Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, Shomer Chinam Einoi Nishba. The Mishnah had told us that a Shomer Chinam does not swear that he was not Pesheya, that he was not negligent, when it comes to the four items listed in our Mishnah. And one of them that the Gemara is now going to focus on is Hegdeshois. That if a Shomer Chinam had something from Hegdesh that he had to watch and it got stolen or lost, he would not have to swear that he was not Poshea. Veriminu, and I will ask you a question, a stira from a Mishnah in Masechet Shkolim. And before we get into that Mishnah, let us give a brief hakdama to the Indian of Shkolim. We are referring here to the Machzis HaShekel, the half shekel, that was collected during the month of Adar, and it was put into collection receptacles, which were called Shofros, and from there it was removed to a special chamber, a Lishka. And three times a year before Pesach, before Shavuos and Sukkot, the coins were removed into three baskets, into three kupois, and from the money that the Kohanim removed, the Korbanos Tzibur were purchased. Now, any of the money that remained in the Lishka, those people who had donated those machzis hashekel that were not part of the trumas halishka, they were not part of the taking from the chamber, from the lishka, and putting it into the three kupois, the three boxes, before Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, they were still included in the karbonos tzibur, even if their particular coin had not been taken. At the end of the year, any coins that were not used were called the Shiorei, the Shirayim, the Shiorei Halishka, and they were used for the upkeep of the walls of Yerushalayim and the towers of Yerushalayim. Now, if someone had sent, for example, his machzis hashekel through a shliach, through a messenger, and it got lost on the way. So if he finds out before the trumas halishka takes place, he finds out that his item had, his shekel had been lost, his machzis hashekel had been lost, so then he has a responsibility to send another machzis hashekel. However, if he found out after the trumas halishka, then we say that just like the Trumas Halishka works for those people whose coins had not been used at this time, that they were still remaining in the Lishka, so too the Trumas Halishka works for people whose coins got nevad, were lost, and he doesn't know about it at the time of the Trumas Halishka. Now let us begin the Mishnah in Masechet Shkolim based on this background. Verminu, I'll ask you a question. The Mishnah there in Shkolim states, B'nei ha'ir, if a whole city, the people of a city, Sheshalcha Sheklein, they had sent their Machzis HaShekel with a Shliach, and the Gemara at this time assumes that the Shliach was, had the status of a Shomer Chinam. V'nignav, and the coins were stolen. V'nignavu Oisha Avdu, they were stolen, or they were lost. So the halacha is as follows. Imishan nitruma hatruma, if the trumas halishka took place already, in other words, we're in the final stage, they were first put into shayfrois, and from there they were taken to alishka, and from there there was trumas halishka into the three boxes. Originally, when they're put into the shayfer, it's called the Taklin Chadetin, these are the new Shkolim, and if coins remain at the end of the year, after the three times during the year when the Trumas Halishka was made, those coins are called taklin atikin. They're the old ones, they're the shirayim, and they are used for the chaymas seir umigdolei seil. So now, imish and nitruma truma, if the truma salishka was already taken, and the person who sent it is not aware before the taking of the truma salishka that his shekel was lost, so the hefsid comes out to be that of hegdish, because the person, the b'nei ha'ir, who are sending the shkolim are no longer responsible. And, as we're going to learn further on this Amid, as Rashi brings down here, at the top of Nun Ches Amid Aleph, which we're now beginning to learn, that Tor Min Ala Avud. If at the time of the Trumas Halishka, this item was Neved, and the owner who had sent it was not aware that it was Neved, so it works for him. He's not responsible anymore. So who will take the loss here in this case? Hegdish will take the loss. So the din is, beginning Nun Ches Amid Aleph, Nishboin Ligizborin. So the Shomer, the Shliach, who lost it, or it was stolen from him, he has to make a Shvua to the Gizborin. And here immediately is the question. Here we're talking about Hegdish, and the Bali Dinim now is Hegdish, if there was already Truma taken. They're going to suffer the loss, and the Shomer Chinam has to make a Shvua to the Gizborin. This contradicts our Mishnah, which says that a Shomer Chinam does not make a Shvua, that he was not negligent to Hegdish. Here it says that you do. Continues the Mishnah in Shkolim. The Imlav, as Rashi explains. And if the B'nei O'ir found out before the Trumas Halishka that their Machzor Shekel were lost, then they have a chrayus to make up and send new ones. So it comes out that Hegdish is not taking the loss. Rather, the B'nei O'ir will take the loss. So they are the Balei Dinim, Nishbo and Lebnei Ha'ir. Then the Shluchim, the Shomer Chinam, has to swear not to Hegdish, but to the other litigant, which is the Bnei Ha'ir. And then the din is, once they have sworn that it was didn't come about as a result of their negligence, Ubnei Ha'ir Shoiklin Achem Tachtem, then the Bnei Ha'ir have to send other Shkolim instead of the ones that they sent originally. Nimtzu, if the ones that were lost were found subsequently, Oyshe Hechzir Maganovim, or the Ganovim that originally had stolen the Machzor Shekel returned them. So now what is the status with the old ones? What is the status with the new ones? The din is Elu Ve'elu Shkolim Heim. They both have a status of Hegdish. Once they became sanctified, they do not lose their Kedusha, and both have a din of Shkolim. Ve'ein oilin lem l'shana habo. The B'nei Ha'ir do not get a credit since it comes out they have paid double Machzor Shekel this year. Perhaps it should be good for next year. No, they're both Hegdish for this year, and there's no credit for the coming year. So this is the end of the Mishnah in Shkolim, and the Stira is very obvious. Our Mishnah says there is no Shvua by Shomrim to Hegdish, and the Mishnah in Shkolim says there is. Amar Shmuel. So Shmuel wants to give an answer that Hacha b'naisa sachar askin. Here, the Mishnah in Shkolim, the Shluchim were not Shomer Chinam, but rather they were Shomer Sachar. And, as Rashi points out, it is true, like our Mishnah on Daf Nun Vav in our Masechta, that there is no Shvua of a Shomer Chinam that Shaloi Pasha to Hegdish, and there is no payment of a Shomer Sachar by Nigneva or Nevda. Normally he would have to pay, if it was Nigneva or Nevda, to a Hedget, but to the base of Migdash, he does not have to pay. We have learned in yesterday's Shir Miyutim that he would not have to pay. So what is the inyan here of the Shvua? Says Shmuel, v'nishboin litos charet. This is not a shvua to pater oneself, but rather this is shvua hanaitlin. This is a shvua where he's going to be able to get his payment. He was paid for a job. Now he wants to collect his payment. And he'll have to make a shvuah that it's not in his rishus, says Rashi. And then he'll be able to get paid. The Gemara soon will ask, what kind of payment? Payment is for a job. The job was to deliver the shkolim to the Beis HaMikdash, and he didn't do his job because it got stolen or it got lost. Ein echanami, it's hegdish, and we learned out from psukim, there's a miyut that he doesn't have to pay hegdish, but how, on the other hand, can he collect his wages for a job well done when the job was not well done? That the Gemara is soon going to ask. Ask the Gemara, if this is the pshat in the Mishnah in Shkolim, Ihochi, Nishboin Ligizborin. The Mishnah there says that if it's after the Trumas Halishka was taken, and Hegdish is going to take the loss, you have to make the Shua to the Gizbor, and according to your Pshat Shmuel in the Mishnah, L'bnei O'ir Meboilei, he should have to make the Shua to the B'nei O'ir. He should have to swear to them that it's not in my Rishus, and therefore you owe me my salary. So why does it say that it's Nishboin L'Gizbor? Amar Rabba said, Rabba, you're right. Nishboin L'Bnei O'ir. Of course the Shua has to go to the B'nei O'ir because it's a Shua Sanoitlin that he wants to take his wages. But B'maimed Gizborin, since the Gizborin are the ones, when the Trumas Halishka was taken, who are going to lose out, so therefore he has to make the Shua in the presence of the treasurers of Hegdish. Why? The Gemara says two reasons. The first reason is that the Gizborn should not suspect that the Shomer Socher pocketed the money himself, the Inami, or that they shouldn't say you were negligent and that's how it came about. So the Shvua is done in front of the Gizborin, but it's a Shuas HaNeitlin, and it's not a Shua to free himself, because that ain't a Chanami. By Hegdish, one would not be Chayiv. Ask the Gemara, V'hanignivu Oishavduktani. We said that the Shkolim were stolen or lost. V'shoymer Socher v'gneva aveda chiyuvim chayiv. Normally by a Hedjit, a Shoymer Socher, you're telling me the case now is that the Shliach was a Shoymer Socher, he was being paid to do this job, to bring it to the base of Megdish. So normally by a Hedjit, he's chayiv by gneva aveda. But v'hochanami, here, since we're talking about Hegdish, nehedish lumilay mishalmi, enechanami, we were memayit from the psukim that a Shoymer Socher of Hegdish does not have to pay Hegdish by gneva aveda. But a gruya mia lifsid. But at least his wages he should lose because he didn't do his job. Here is the question that Rashi brought down before that the Gemara is asking: why do we pay him for a job well done when he didn't do a job? The fact is that it didn't reach its destination. So Einach Hanami, we're not mechayiv him to pay Hegdish, but why should the Bnei Yair have to pay his salary? Amar Rabba, so Rabba responds. Nigdavu, when we say Nigdavu, what it means is ballista mezuyim. It means armed robbers, and this is called an oinis, and Rashi says, on this shmir of oinis, the Shomer Socher was not makabel. He was only makabel something that's not an oinis. If it would not have been an oinis, then in Echlami, he wouldn't get his wages. But an oinis, on that he wasn't makabel, and therefore it is considered that he did his job, and we have to pay him. And what does Avdu mean, says the Gemara? Shatavis v'nasa bayam. He was traveling on a boat. The boat sank in the sea, and that's also an oinus, and therefore it's considered he did his job, and therefore he does get his wages, and he just has to swear that it's not in his rishus, and then he's able to collect his wages. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan wants to give a different teretz. Ha mani Reb Shimon hi. Really, we're speaking about the shvua of not being a pesheya. Really, it's speaking about a shomer chinam. We don't have to say it's speaking about a shomer socher. But so the question is that our Mishnah says there is no shvua to hegdish by a shomer chinam, and the Mishnah in Shkolim says there is a shvua to hegdish by a shomer chinam. The Mishnah in Shkolim is going according to Reb Shimon. The Omar, that Reb Shimon's opinion is, Kotshim Shechayv Bachur Yosan, if someone said, a neder, Harei Olai, I am responsible to bring this animal as a korban, even if this animal gets lost, I have to bring another animal, I'm responsible. So Reb Shimon Shita is that in such a case, even though it's Hegdish, Yesh Len Oino, there is a Din Oino. Reb Shimon said this before on Daf, Nun Vav Amid Aleph going to Amid Beis. There is a Din Oino. That's not a case of Hegdish, which is Nismayate from the Din Oino. It's considered, since I have a legal responsibility to make up, so then we look at it that it's not Hegdish, it's considered my own property, and there is a Din of Eidah, and also V'nishbo'en Aleihem. It's also considered something that I would, if I was a Shomer, I would have to make a Shvuah. Rashi says that really we're not Goyris here, Yesh Lan Oinah, because our sugya is not speaking about Oinah, our sugya is speaking about Shvuah. Where does Rav Shimon say that Kachim Shechai Brachu Yosin is considered like my own, not Hegdish, and I would have to make a Shvuah, the Shomer would have to make a Shvuah on it? That's written in a Mishnah in Shvuas on Daf, Mem Beis Amid Beis. So Rashi says, if you're Goyris here, Yesh Lan Oinah, it means that you would not be aware of the Mishnah in Shavuos, Mem Beis Amid Beis, that says, Beferish Nishbo'en Aleihem, according to Reb Shimon. And why do you bring in Yesh Lan Oinah? Because you're saying, just like it's considered non-Hegdish concerning the Din of Oinah, according to Reb Shimon, by Chayiv Bachur Yusan, that I'm responsible to make up for it, so too, I'll compare it to the din of Shvuah that you have to make a Shvuah. But Rashi says you don't have to make a deduction from Oinah to Shvuah when it's an open Mishnah in Shvuas that Reb Shimon holds in a case of Kachim Chai Brach Riyasim, that there's a din Shvuah. So therefore Rashi says you're not Goyris Yesh Lam Oinah here. We're focusing on the Mishnah in Shvuas, Nishbo'en Aleihem. But anyway, Rabbi Yochanan is trying to say that it's not a stira, because we'll say, in Echanami, the Mishnah Shkolim is going according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that such a type of Hegdish has a din of Chulin, Legabe, Shvuah, and there would be a din of the Shomer having to swear. Says the Gemara, that's a good teretz in the second case of the Mishnah there, when the Bnei Oir are responsible to make up for the item that was lost, because they found out that it was lost before the Trumas Halishka, and there they're responsible. So that's like a case of Chayiv Brachu Yosan, and Einich Nami, there would be a Shvuah according to Reb Shimon. But what are you going to do with the first case of the Mishnah in Shkolim? Mishnah Nitruma HaTruma, if they found out after the Trumas Halishka, so then that's a case of Kachim She'enachai Brachu Yosaninu. Then the Bnei Oir do not have to send a second payment of the Machzis HaShekel. Then the din is that, as we're going to learn soon, as we had before, Rashi on the top of the Amid, the third line, that Tarman Alavid. If it got lost, and you're still not aware that it got lost at the time of the Trumas Halishka, the din is that the Trumas Halishka works for you, and you are considered having a chelik in the Karbonis Tzibur that are bought from these dinarim. The sanya we learned on a brisa, Tarmin ala Ovid, that the Trumas Halishka works on Machzis HaShekel that were lost, and you are considered having a chelik in the Karbonis Tzibur. Also, Valagovi, Rashi says, Voidenu Baderech. It was collected from you, but there was a long way, and something happened on the way, and you didn't make it on time to the Beis HaMikdash. So, you are still considered as being part of the Karbonis Tzibur. And also, Vala Osid Ligvois, Rashi explains, that if through an Oinus, you weren't able to give it in Ador, then you are still considered as being part of it if in the future you're going to give it. So if it reaches the Beis HaMikdash after Ador, anytime during the year, it goes into the Shifras, into the Taklin Charetin, it's still considered new Shkolim that are used for the Karbonis Tzibur of that year, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. What happens if it reaches the Beis HaMikdash, you only sent it after Sukkot, so then it goes into Taklin Atikin, and then it has a din of Shiyari Alishka, it remains the coins that are left over from one year to the next, and those leftover coins, those coins that reach the Lishka after the final Trumas Halishka of that year, which happens in Sukkot. So those coins are used for the upkeep of the walls of Yerushalayim and the towers of Yerushalayim. But the person who, because of an oinus, couldn't give it during Ador, and he only could get it to the Beis HaMikdash after the final Trumas Halishka, he is still considered as being a part of the Korbanos Tzibur. So the Gemara's Kasha is that you wanted to answer it's going according to Reb Shimon, who holds that there is a Shvua by Kachim Shechai Bachriyosan, but there's one case in the Mishnah in Shkolim where you're not Chai Bachriyos. That's if it was Ovid, that the Trumas Halishka works for the Machzor Shekel that was lost, and the Bailam don't know that it was lost at the time of the Trumas Halishka, that he's considered being part of the Karma Sibber, and he doesn't have any Achrayas to supplement it with a new Machzor Shekel. So the Bnei Yair in that case would not have to send new Machzor Shekel. So it's Kachim that's not Chayv Bachrayas. So over there, Reb Shimon would also hold that there would be a Shvua. Reb Shimon would rather hold that there would not be a Shvua, and we have a problem because the Mishnah in Shkolim says that he has to swear to the Gizbor, and L'chayri, even according to Reb Shimon, this would be Kachim She'ein Chai Bachrayas, and therefore he would not have to swear, and yet the Mishnah there says that he does have to swear to Shomer Chinam. El Amar Rab Lazar says, Einachanami minat Torah. We learned from a pasuk amiyut that a shomer chinam does not have to swear to hegdish. But shvua zu takaras chachamim. This is a completely new takana of the chachamim for the shvua. What's the purpose of the shvua? Shalo yehu b'nei adam is azlam hegdish. The people should not treat hegdish in a inferior manner, in not giving respect to hegdish. So to make sure that people have the right respect for hegdish. Even though the Torah did not require a Shvua, the Rabbanan did require a Shvua, but Ein Echanami, Midaraisa, the Mishnah on Daf Nunvav is correct, that there is no Shvua by Hegdish from a Shomer Chinam, Sheloi Pasha. It's only a Shvua Midarabbanan that people should not treat Hegdish with Zilzal. Continues the Gemara to explain the part of the Mishnah of Noisei Socher Ein Mishalim, that a Shomer Socher does not have to pay. And we learned that in yesterday's shir from Amiyat as well. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama l'Rabba. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama had a question to Rab. To none, we learned in our Mishnah, Noisei Socher Ein Mishalim. For a minute, I'll ask you a question from a Braisa. The Braisa says, HaSoicher Sapoil, if the Gizbor of Hegdish hired a worker, and we're going to discuss here three different jobs that this worker could have done. The first job is Lishmar Esapora. His job was to watch the Poraduma, because a Poraduma can easily become puzzle, either through a mum or by doing certain kinds of malacha, such as having a yoke upon it. So his job is to make sure that there's no mum and no work that is prohibited on the Poraduma. Second job that this worker could have done is Lishmor es hatinik, to watch the tinik. And Rashi explains that this is concerning the Kayin, who was to burn the Para Aduma and make the Afer of the Para. So there were special protections put into place that Soiref es HaPara should not become Tameh. Number one, the other Kehanim did not come near him, did not touch him for 7 days in case they would be Tameh, that they should not make him Tameh. And he was sprinkled with water, and the water was brought by children up to the age of 7 and 8 who were watched that they never became tamei. They lived in houses that were built in such a way that the children would not become tamei. They traveled on wagons that were built in such a way that they would not become tamei on the wagons. And then every day they sprinkled this kayin who was going to burn the Parah Aduma, because there was a chashash that maybe he became Tameh, and this way every day he would get sprinkled. So these were all precautions and safeguards put into place that the kayin who was soyer of the Parah would be in a state of purity. So this person's job, this poil who was hired by the Gizbor, his job was to make sure that the Tinoikas would not become Tameh and they could be used in the purification process of the Kohen Aseret HaPara. And finally, the third job that he could have done, this poil, is Lishmar Es Hazroyim, to watch that which was planted, the seeds. And Rashi here gives two explanations. One explanation is that we're speaking about the Korban Ha'omer that was brought on Tezayin Nissan, and it had to be brought from new planting, and 70 days before Pesach it was planted, and his job was to make sure that no one would tamper with this newly seeded, newly grown tefuah, and it could be used for the Korban HaOmer. Or Rashi says that we're speaking about in Shemitah. So in Shemitah, on the one hand, you were not allowed to seed. You could not grow new crops. On the other hand, the only thing that they could use was the svichim, the aftergrowth. But they had a problem that they would have to make sure that animals would not trample on it and that people would not take it. So they had to have a shomer there and to make sure that this would not happen. Tosfos, in the bottom Tosfos, the Rav Maaskal Lishmar asks, how would it be mutter to have this guard there when anything that you use for the korban has to be mashki yisrael, which we learn out min amutterly yisrael? There cannot be any aveira done with this produce. And Tosfos brings down that min amishumer yata boitzer, that you cannot use something that was guarded. There's an isser to guard Shemitah. So how, in fact, could we have a guard here to protect the svichim, the aftergrowth, that people shouldn't take it? Then, in fact, an isser was done with it. If an isser was done with it, how could I bring it as a korban? Tosfos at the bottom answers, he wasn't a guard saying, don't take it. That would be usser. That would be mishumer, which would be usser. Rak shoya moidion. All his job was to let people know this is set aside to be used in the Beis HaMikdash for the Korban HaOmer. When people would hear that, so automatically they would refrain from using it. So therefore you have no problem. That's not called a shmira if he's just maidia them that it was set aside. And that was the job that he was doing. So here we have three different jobs that the Gizbor could have hired this poil to do. Continues the Gemara, a noisin loischar Shabbos, that in these three cases when the Gizbor hired this worker, if, as Rashi says, he was hired to be a schir yoim, to be paid for each day, then we do not pay him for Shabbos. The Chachamim prohibited paying someone for Shabbos, even if the work that he's doing on Shabbos does not involve any of the lamates malachas. He's not doing a malacha, but a person should not get paid for doing something even permitted on Shabbos. Lefikach, since we're not paying this worker for Shabbos, ein achrayus Shabbos alav. If something happens in these three jobs that he has and it gets damaged, he is not responsible to pay for the damage because he wasn't being paid for Shabbos, so he's not responsible. Well, what happens if he was hired, as Rashi says, Shabbos means here Shavua, for the week, or Schir Chodesh, or for a month, or Schir Shana, or for a year, or Schir Shavua, which Rashi says means he was hired for 7 years. The main thing is, the bottom line is, that he was not hired on a daily basis, but for a longer period of time. Then, nice and nice Schar Shabbos, as Rashi explains, because we have the concept of Havlah. He's not getting paid mefurash directly for Shabbos. It is nivla. It is absorbed within the larger time frame that he's getting paid for, the week, the month, the year, or the 7 year Shemitah cycle. So then we could pay him for Shabbos through Havlah, lefikach achray Shabbos olav. Therefore, if something does happen on Shabbos, he is responsible. So the Gemara says, you see here, we're dealing about Hegdish, And we're saying that a Shomer Socher does have to pay if something was damaged. My love, l'shalom. Doesn't this mean that he has an achraya Shabbos to pay? And you just said before in our Mishnah that Noisa Socher by Hegdish does not have to pay for Gzela Vaveda. It seems to be a contradiction. Answers the Gemara, loy. It doesn't mean that he has to pay. It means l'havsut choroi, that he loses his wages. He didn't do his job. Ein echanami is not mechuyev to pay for the damage, but we will not pay him for the job that he has not properly completed. Ask the Gemara Yehachi, if that's the pshat in the Seifa, so explain me pshat in the Reisha. Reisha, diktani, einach rai Shabbos olav, in the case where he's a schir yoim, he's getting paid on a daily basis. Where you told me that we don't pay him schar Shabbos, so you also said that in the Reisha, because we don't pay him schar Shabbos, einach rai Shabbos olav. If something happens, he's not responsible. So we have to say the Reish and the Sefer are speaking about the same case, that it's not negeya to paying, but rather, hachinami de lahavset zchari. Does it also refer to the fact that he will not lose his wages? That's what it means. Ein achray Shabbos olav? But what wages are we speaking about? Umi yisle zchar Shabbos. Voktani ein noisle zchar Shabbos. You cannot say that that's the pshat in the Reish, that he doesn't lose his wages when he doesn't get paid for Shabbos, when he's being hired on a daily basis. So he's not going to lose his wages. What wages? You just said that ain't nois nois chai Shabbos, there's no wages for Shabbos to talk about. So what do you mean he doesn't lose those wages? So that cannot be pshat in this brisa. So the seifa must be the pshat that Lefika Chray Shabbos Olav, that he has to pay for any damage that happened. And that brings back our original question. We learned that Shomer Socher does not have to pay by Hegdish. So the Ishtik Rabbah was silent to the question Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama asked him, and he did not have an answer. Amalei, Rabbah said to Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama, Midi Shem Yeloch Baha, maybe you heard something, a pshat in this brisa that seems to contradict our Mishnah, Amar Lei. So Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama answers, yes, I did hear something. Hachi Amar Rav Sheshes, Bishakana Miyadai, where Kenyan was made, as Rashi explains, normally Ein Echanami, the Shomer Socher, is not obligated to pay for Gneva Vaveda when it comes to Hegdish. However, if he made a special Kenyan and he obligated himself that he would be chai for Gneva Veda through the Kinyan Ein Echanami, he becomes chai for Gneva Veda, and that is what this Bryce is speaking about, a case of Kana Miyadei. The Chenom Rabbi Yoichlem is Kana Miyadei. Rabbi Yoichlem gave the same answer to the Pshat in that Bryce that's speaking about Kana Miyadei. If there's no Kinyan and we're just going with the regular Dini HaTorah, then Ein Echanami, a Shomer Socher is potter by Gneva Veda when it comes to Hegdish. However, if he makes a special kinyan to obligate himself, then he's chayiv, and that's what the brisa is speaking about. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of our Mishnah. Rav Shimon Omer, kachim shechay bachri yosef, that if somebody said haray a lie, and then if something happens to that animal, he's mechuyev to bring another animal as a korban. So those kachim where he has an obligation to replace it, yesh lahen oino. There is a din oino on them, according to Rav Shimon. They don't have a din of kachim. They're considered his property because he has an obligation to replace it. Ushein achai b'achor yosem. But if he said, hare zu, I'm only donating this animal. If something happens to it, I have no obligation to replace it. So then it's totally hegdishes. It has no value to him if something happens to it. And therefore, it is nismayed from the din of oino, ein lahen oino. Now the Gemara brings a brisa that has to do with asham gzelois. If a person, for example, was given a pekodin and he is later kaifer, he denies that he ever got the pekodin, and then he's moida that he did get it and he was trying to steal it, and then he's moida. So the din is he's chayv keren chayv mishva asham. This is called an asham Gzelus. He had to make a shvuas hapikadon. He had to swear that he never received it. He did swear. and then he admitted that he swore falsely. So in that case, he has to bring a sham gizelis, he has to pay keren v'chaymish, he has to pay the initial amount plus a fifth, and he has to bring the korban of a sham gizelis. The b'rais that we're going to learn now is going on the pasuk, nefesh kisechto mol amol b'ashem. The person sinned and he did something against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'kichish ba'amisai, he denied some money to his friend, b'pikadon, concerning a pikadon. Tani Tana Kamei, to Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abba. A Tana learned a brayso in front of Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abba. Kachim shechai b'achriyos and chayiv. That if somebody took a pikadon from Hegdish, for which there was a person that donated Hare Olai to Hegdish, and then he gave it as a pikadon to someone, to the Sharmer, to watch. The Sharmer denied that he received it, and he swore falsely, and then he was Moda. So Chayiv, he will be Chayiv to pay Karen Chaimish and the Asham Gezelis. Why? Because that fits into the pasuk that we just mentioned. Nefesh Kisechto Mol Amol Bashem Shani Kaira Bohen Bashem Vikichesh. The pasuk says Mol Amol Bashem Vikichesh. So the Havamin of the Gemara right now is that the more something can be considered Hashem's, and there was a false denial that he never received this pekadon, that makes him chayv and Hashem gzeilah. So here, the kachim shechayv b'achriyosin appeared to be considered Lashem, and he swore falsely, and on that he has to pay Hashem gzeilah. Bachein echayv b'achriyosin potter. But if it's Harei Zu, it's not Harei Olai, and he has no obligation, the Mafkid, the one who gave him the Pekodin, has no obligation to replace it. So then, if the Shomer denies that he ever got it, and he swore falsely, and then he admits that he was lying, Potter, then he's not chayv to pay an Asham Gzeilus. Why? Shani Kairben, because then I say the second part of the Pasuk. Ba'amisoi v'kichesh. The pasuk had said, umol umol b'ashem v'kichesh ba'amisoi. So it seems from the pashas of the Gemara right now that if I can consider this thing belonging to Hashem, then that fits into the requirements for Hashem gzeilus. However, if it is not considered Hashem's, it's considered amisoi, such as einoi chayv b'achriyosen, and he denies that, then he is potter from a korban. Amarlei, so when Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abba heard what this Tana had said from the Raisa, he said, Klape Laya, where are we going with the Svara? Rasha's Laya means Hecha. You are taking this to illogical conclusions as we turn to Daf Nun Ches Amid Beis. If Chamasavra, everything as Rashi explains here about what you have just said is just the opposite. Because you made a premise, as we explained when we were learning the Braisa, that whatever is more from Hashem is chayv and Hashem gzeilus. Whatever is more amisoi is not considered Hashem's, is potter from Hashem gzeilus. That was your first premise. Your second premise was that if it's chayv b'achrayis, if the mafkid has to replace it, that's considered Hashem's, and therefore it's chayv Hashem gzeilus. If it's not chayv b'achrayis, then it's considered that it belongs to the mafkid and not to Hashem. And then you'll be potter from Hashem gezeilus. Those were the premises that you just said. But everything you just said is illogical. Why? Number one, it's much more logical to say that if it's chayv b'achrayis, then it's not considered Hashem. It's considered his. As we see, Rav Shimon holds that svara in our Mishnah. That's not considered Hegdish, there'll be no dinoy noah, there'll be a dinoy noah because that's considered the person's. He has to replace it. It has a value to him. So just the opposite. You're saying if it's Chayv b'achrayis, it's Hashem's, and if it's Eina Chayv b'achrayis, it's considered yours. The opposite. If it's Eina Chayv b'achrayis, that's more logical that it's Hashem. And if your other premise is correct, that whatever is Hashem's, there is a Hashem Gzeilus. Whatever is yours, there's no Hashem Gzeilus, then the din should be that if it's Chayv b'achrayis, that's considered Amisoi, that's not Hashem's. And then that should be potter from Hashem Gzeilus, and she'ein achar b'achrayis, that should be considered. That should be considered Hashem's, because it has no value to me. And then, according to your logic, if it's Hashem's, then the din should be that it should be Chayiv. So you're telling me that Chayiv Bachrayis is Chayiv Hashem Gzeilus. And Ein Chayiv Bachrayis is Potter from Hashem Gzeilus. It should be just the opposite. Because Chayiv Bachrayis is considered mine, so it should be potter. And Ein Chayiv Bachrayis is considered Hashem's, then it should be Chayiv. So that's my first question, that it's illogical. And besides that, says Rashi, the whole premise that which is to Hashem is Chayiv, Hashem Gzeilus, and that which is La Misa is potter, that itself is illogical. Because, as we have seen in our Mishnah, Legabi, for example, Oino, that the Shvua of Shoimrim, the Shvua of Shoimrim does not apply to Hegdish. It applies to Hegid. Hegid is more Chomer than Hegdish. So here, if there's a question, when do you have to bring an Hashem Gzeilus for something that belongs to Hashem, or for something that belongs to Hegid, it's more Mistavra that you have to bring a Bedafka when it belongs to Hegid. So everything about what you said from the Brisa on Amud Aleph is totally illogical. Amar Lei. So when the Tana heard all these questions that Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba was asking him, so he said to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba, Ismayei. Should I, in fact, delete it? Is this an erroneous brisa? Amar Lei, so he responded, Loi, don't erase it, because I have a pshat that makes sense in the words of the brisa. Hachi kamar. That's what this Tan in the brisa meant to say. Kachim shechayiv b'achrayis and chayiv. Kachim that are chayiv b'achrayis and are chayiv, not because they're considered Hashem's. And if it's considered Hashem, that makes you chayiv. Like we said, the svara is that if it's la misoid, if it's a hedjit, then it's considered a chiyuv of Hashem Gzeilus. But what the Bryce is trying to say, kachim shechayiv b'achrayis and chayiv, the yisrabi were marbeit mi b'Hashem v'kichesh. That of course the main criteria is it a misoid? But you would say, but since there's an aspect of Hashem, it's kachim, it should be potter. But I say that this is a type of kachim, which is chayiv b'achrayis, and therefore it's not considered totally l'Hashem. It has a component in it of amisai. So I put the whole pasuk together, as Rashi explains. May Hashem v'kichesh b'amisai. This is a type of Hashem, a type of kachim, which even though it's kachim, it's still considered kichesh b'amisai. And that's why the din is chayiv, because the amisai factor makes it chayiv. And since this is something that has value to me, because if it gets lost, I have to replace it. So then the lie that the Shomer said to the Mafkid is a lie, not against Hashem, it's a lie to Lamisoi, and Hedjit is more Chayiv than to Hegdish. But, concludes the Brisa, Vishayna Chayiv Bachriyosan, but if the Mafkid is not Chayiv, because it's a case of Harezu, so if it gets lost, he doesn't have to replace it, and I swore falsely that I never received it as a Pekodin, so there, in fact, I will be Potter from Hashem Gzeilus once I admit that I lied. Why? The Imayit Mibamisa Vikichesh. Because this is totally not Amisoi. This is totally Hashem's, because it has no value to me, because if it gets lost, I don't have to replace it. So that's why in every aspect, completely, this belongs to Hashem, and not L'Amisoi. So that's what the Tana is saying there. She'ein Chayiv B'Achrayis Potter. You know why? She'ani Kairaben B'Amisoi V'Kichesh, meaning that the Amisoi V'Kichesh is a miut that this is not a case of Amisoi. This is a case of Lashem. And therefore, there is no Hashem Gzeles. Whereas, Kachem Shechayev Brachorayis, although there's a component of Hashem, but it still could be considered a Kishra Amisoi. And we're marbrit that there will be a din of Hashem Gzeles. So according to this pshat, we turn around the whole understanding of what the Brice is saying and why there is a Chiyuv of Kachim Shechayev Bachrayas, because those are considered Amisai, and there's a Ptur by Einachayev Bachrayas, because they're not considered Amisai, they're considered Lashem, and therefore there is no Chiyuv of Hashem Gzeilas. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Af HaMoicher Sefer Torah, Margolis, Ubehema Ein Leman Oino. Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that if somebody sells a Sefer Torah or a jewel, or an animal, there is no oino. And the Gemara now will bring a braisa to explain this part of the Mishnah. Tanya, we learned in a braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Af HaMoicher Sefer Torah, Ein Lo Oino. What's the reason? Lefi She'en Ketz L'Dameh, because it is priceless. And the purchaser is ready to pay whatever it costs to buy the Sefer Torah. Whatever we're going to pay for a Sefer Torah, it's worth that amount. Based on this, the Ritva says that there will not be any oino if the lokeach paid more than the regular price. However, if the lokeach underpaid the price, then there would be oino in that situation. Continues the Gemara, Behemu Margolis, Ein Lam Oino. What's the reason for that? But Mnei Sha'odom writes the Lezavgan, as Rashi explains, a person wants to match them. If a person has a strong animal, he does not want to have another animal that is weak in the plow together, because that will cause a damage to the strong animal. Therefore, he wants at all costs to have a comparable strong animal next to the one he presently has. The same thing is if a person has a, for example, a gold piece of jewelry, and it has one diamond in the setting, and there's one setting that's empty, he wants to match it with a comparable diamond in the other setting. So he's willing, because of that need to match, to pay any price, and therefore there is no oino. Amru loy, so the Chacham who disagreed with the Rabbi Yehuda said to him, Vahaloi hakoil, Adam writes to Lezavgan, everything a person would like to match and have a second one. So therefore, there should never be oino. And yet we know there is a din oino. So it's a riot at your swara. Rabbi Yehuda is not a good swara. Rabbi Yehuda, and what is Rabbi Yehuda going to answer to what the Chacham say? Hani chashivale, vahani loy chashivale. A animal or a sefer Torah or a piece of jewelry that's chashiv to him, he's willing to pay any price. There is no oino. Vat vahani loy chashiv alei. But other things to match, yes, it would be nice to match them, but not when it comes at such a steep price over a shtus. Vaad kama, how much do we say that if he overpays, there is no oino? Is there no limit? Amar Ameimer Ad Kedei Demeim. Even in these three cases, Rabbi Yehuda holds that there is a limit. Over that limit there will be oino. What is the limit? Says Rashi, Kiflayim. If it's Ad Kedei Demeim, double what its regular worth is, up to that point there is no oino. Beyond that point there would be oino, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, in these three cases. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Besayim Roimer, Af HaMoicher Sus, if a person sells a horse, Vesayif, and a sword, Vahatitoim, and a shield, B'muchama, in a battle, Ein Lam Oino, there's no din oino, because, Mimnei, Sheyesh ben Chayin Nefesh, these three items in a battle are a matter of survival, they're essential to life, and again, he's willing to overpay what the regular amount is, and there will not be any oino. It would seem, says the Shita, that no one argues on Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. However, the Shita says it is possible that, in fact, we do not paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, and he will be a das yachid. He gives a very good swar of Nei Sheyesh ben Chayin Nefesh, and the person is willing to overpay, and there should not be a din of oino. Says the Shita, this will be comparable to a halacha where a person comes to a river. He has to get to the other side. There's no one to take him. And suddenly someone with a boat comes and wants to charge him an exorbitant amount, much more than the average cost would be to go in a boat over this river. So the din is, even if he agrees to that exorbitant price. When he comes to the other side of the river, he's only mechuyev to pay what the regular cost would be, because the fact that he agreed under duress in that situation does not really indicate that that is the value that it is worth. He's only mechuyev al pidin to pay the regular value. The same thing over here, says the Shita. It's very possible that we would disagree with Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir, and we would say, although because of the battle situation, he's willing to overpay, but yet that is not considered the real value of the item, and the real value of the item is not matched in what it would cost during a war situation when he needs it for survival, and therefore anything over shtus would be considered a non, not like Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir says. Continues the Mishnah, we have been discussing until now oino as far as mekach u'memkar in money matters. And the word oino we translated means fraud. But the Mishnah says, k'shem sh'oino b'mekach u'memkar, just like there is oino in buying and selling in monetary matters, kach oino b'dvorim, there is also oino b'dvorim. Now what does it mean oino and dvorim? It doesn't mean fraud in words, but rather it means wrongdoing, because I know it could also mean to do something wrong. So in money matters, doing something wrong is fraud. In words, it could be embarrassing somebody. It could be hurting somebody's feeling. It means, as the Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Lamed Ches tells us, the definition of Eino is, Kolaymer, Shaloi Noimar Li Yisrael Dvorm Sheyachivuhu V'Yitzaruhu V'Ein Bay Koyach Le'ozer Mehem. Don't say anything to a person that will cause him pain and anguish, and he has no way to help himself from your biting, sharp words. What are examples of this? And these are only examples. Any situation which causes pain will be a person who says those words will be over on the Isser of Shaloi Lohanois Echad Mi Yisrael B'dvorim, as the Chinuch puts it. What are examples of this? He shouldn't say to a seller, how much do you want for this item? He doesn't even want to buy it. So the Meiri says a different ways where it can cause tsar. On a simple level, the seller thinks, oh, I have a prospective customer. Really, the customer never wants to buy it. And in the end, he walks away and doesn't buy it. So he caused unnecessarily for the moicher to think he has a deal, and then there's no deal, so he caused him tsar, and he really didn't want to buy it to begin with. Continues the Mishnah, another example of a nos dvarim, imhoi abal tshuva, this person had done avers, and then he repented, and he became abal tshuva, lo yoyim loy, you should not say to that person, zechor ma'asecha rishon, remember when you were doing avers, that causes him anguish. Or imhu ben gerim, if he is the son of gerim, lo yoyim loy, one should not say to him, Zechor Ma'aseh V'Secha, remember what your father did, that he was a goy. And Tosfos says here that this is Bederech Loy Zu Avzu, not only in the case of Baal Tshuva, where you are hurting him by saying, remember what you did wrong when you were doing Averis, but even where I'm not saying anything about you, I'm speaking about your father, that your father used to be a goy, that's who you come from, and that will cause him pain. You should not say that. It says in the Torah, concerning a ger, you shouldn't do wrong to him and you should not oppress him. The Marsha asks a question, why don't we make these last two halachs of the Mishnah, these two cases, both by a ger? Don't say to a ben gerim anything about his father, and don't say to a ger anything about himself when he was a goy. Why do we have to go to the case of Baal Tshuva? Answers the Marsha that in the case of a ger, if he would say to him his actions of a goy, that's not necessarily a nos dvorim. It's something perhaps he should be proud of. He was a goy. He saw the emes and he became a ger. So that's something that he could be very proud of. A Baal Tshuva who was a yid and he went off to Derech and he started doing averas, and now you remind him of that when he became a Baal Tshuva, that is Oinoas Dvorim hurting him. So that's why we have two different cases of Baal Tshuva and Ben Gerim. Tana Rabbanan begins the Gemara. We have learned Loisoinu Ish Es Amisoi, that pasuk in Parshas Bahar. The pasuk is speaking about where you are doing wrong to another person with words. Ato Oimer by Noas Dvorim, you say that pasuk is speaking about a Noas Dvorim, Ein Elo by Noas Mamon. Maybe it's speaking about Oinoas Mamon. No. Kishu Oimer, Vichisim Kurmem Karlami Secha. When the pasuk said earlier in the same parsha that when you sold something to your friend, Oikonomi Adami Secha, or you bought something from your friend, the pasuk ends, Al Toinu Ishas Achiv, you should not defraud him. Hare Oinoas Mamon Amar. So we already have a pasuk that speaks about a nos moment. So what do I do with the subsequent pasuk? Don't cause any wrongdoing to your friend. That must be by nos dvarim. It must be hurting him with words. The top Tosfos says that we could have perhaps thought that maybe it's just an extra lav. So we say no. When we have an opportunity to be doresh and make it a whole new iser, rather than saying that Oinoas Mamon has more than one lav, it has two laven, we rather say that there's one iser of Oinoas Mamon, and there's a separate iser of Oinoas Dvorim. Okay, so what's an example of Oinoas Dvorim? Im hoya bal tshuva, al yom lo yizchor maaseh harishayim, which we had in our Mishnah. Im hoya ben gerim, al yom lo yizchor maaseh harisecha. Im hoya ger bo luma tarra, if he was a ger and he's coming to learn tarra, al yom lo, you shouldn't say to the ger, pesh, achel, nevelus, utreifes, shkotzim, remashim, this mouth, your mouth that you ate an animal which wasn't shechted, a nevela, or an animal even if it was shechted, but we found a defect in the animal that renders it a treifa, or you ate crawling creatures, shkatzim remasim. That mouth now, bo lulmoy Torah, you now want to come to learn Torah, shenem repia gvur, that Torah was said from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kaviyachol. Or, imhoya yisurin bo in a lav, if this person had calamities coming to him. Or imhayu chalom boy in a love, or he became sick. Oy shahayu mekaber is one of, or unfortunately, his children were dying and he was burying them. Al yoyim roloi, do not say to him. Keder sharam roloi chaver v'liyiv, like Eve's friend said to him. And specifically, we're speaking about Alifaz who came to visit him. And Alifaz said to Eve, after all the yisurim that Eve went through, he said, halo yiroscha kisla secha. As Tosfos explains here, the word kislasecha means your betochen, your confidence. If you were a real Yorish Shemayim, then that itself would give you confidence. It would also give you tikvasecha, hope. It would be v'toim durachecha, it would be integrity of your ways. Zechorna mihu naki avad. As Tosfos explains, im hayisa naki loy hayisa aved. If you, in fact, were innocent, then nothing bad would happen to you. So apparently you're not a Yorish Shemayim. So one should not give this tough talk as Eliphaz did to Eev. That's Oinoas Dvorim. Another example is if donkey drivers asked him for tfuah, lo yomer lem, you should not say to them, lechu etz pliny, go to that person, shehu mocher tfuah, he'll sell you tfuah. V'yodeya boi shehu lo mocher loylem, may oylem, and he knows that the person that he was referring them to never sold tfuah from his life. So there's two ways to understand Oinoas Dvorim here. Either when they come to that person and they ask him for tfuah, and he says, I don't sell tfuah, that will be embarrassment to him. Or when they're turned away, that will be embarrassment to them. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, af lo yitla ein aval mekach, like we had in our Mishnah, he should not look at something that he might be interested in purchasing, b'shosh ein lo yidomim, when he has no money and he really doesn't want to purchase it. And now, as Rashi explains, we want to know why, concerning the pasuk of Oinoas Dvorim, do we have the phrase v'yoreisam alekecha at the end of the pasuk, which we don't find by Oinoas Mamoin, sharei hadover masul lelev, because Oinoas Dvorim is a thing that is in the heart. Hashem knows what's going on in your heart. V'chol dover masul lelev nemer bo v'yoreisam alekecha shafir Hashem, as Rashi explains, because you could pretend that you really do want to buy it, even though you don't. Only Hashem knows that you don't. Or you could pretend that you thought that that person did sell wheat, even though Hashem knows that you knew that that person does not sell wheat. So this is something given over to the heart. It's only Hashem who knows. Hashem yira lelevav. Hashem can see in the heart whether you are sincere or not. And therefore it says, v'yoreisam alekech. Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. God alone knows for my Oinoas Dvorim. We find that Oinoas Dvorim is even harder avera, worse avera than Oinoas Mamon. Why? Shezeh nemer bov yoreis melekecha by Oinoas Dvorim, it says yoreis melekecha. Vizeh loy nemer bov yoreis melekecha by Oinoas Mamon, it does not say yoreis melekecha. Rab Lozer Oimer, another reason why Oinoas Dvorim is worse, zeh begufoy, here you're causing harm in the person himself. You're making him feel bad. Here you are only damaging his money. And as we'll soon see in the chinuch, that people are more makbid on their guf than their on their feelings than their money. Rab Shmuel bar Nachmani Omar, zen nitun lishav, money you can give back. Vizeloi nitun lishav, this you cannot give back. Even if you ask the person mechila, but the damage, the wound, the dart that you threw into his heart remains. That hole remains even with your asking mechila. Tani Tanaka made a Rab Nachman bar Yitzchak call him album nechaver barabim. Another kind of hurting someone with words is embarrassing someone, and the word malvin comes from love, and you're making his face white, as we will soon see in the Gemara. Whoever embarrasses a friend in public, it's as if he is killing him. So when Rab Nachman bar Yitzchak heard this Tana, he said, Shaper comrade, what you're saying is good. The chazina lay that we see, the azosum, the red goes away of his face, and the white comes, even though Toisvis in Divri Amaskel, the azosumka says, Adarabba, when you embarrass someone, you see that his face gets all red, says Toisvis, that's only in the beginning. Before the redness goes away and becomes white, it gathers together before it exits. But in fact, the end is that you're malbin p'nei chaver, lovin. You're causing him to become pale white when you embarrass him. Omer le abai le rab dimi, b'marove, Bavel was to the east of Eretz Yisrael, which was to the west of Bavel. In the west, b'marove, b'maizir, what are you careful not to do? Omer le, b'chavri ape, we're careful not to embarrass people, the Amr of Chanina, Hakol Yordan LeGehenim. Everybody goes down to Gehenim, Chutz Mishlash, except for three. Ask the Gemara, what does this mean? Hakol Salkadadach. Everybody winds up in Gehenim. There are tzaddikim who do not wind up in Gehenim. El Eima. Say what Chanina meant to say was, Kol Hayordan LeGehenim. Oilim, everyone who goes down to Gehenim comes up right away. Chutz Mishlash, Yordan Vein Oilim, except for three who go down and don't come up. And ve'eluhein, habo alashus ish, someone has relations with someone else's wife, or v'amal b'nei chaver barabi embarrasses someone, or v'amakana shem ro'al chaveri, he nicknames him a derogatory name. Ask the Gemara makana haina malbin. That's the same thing. If he's embarrassing by calling him this nickname, that's malbin. The Gemara answers no. Afagav d'dosh be b'shmei. This person has been called this insulting nickname for many years, and he's gotten used to it. So, as Rashi explains, his face is not going to turn white anymore when you say it. But your kavana when you're using the nickname is to embarrass him. So you are—that's a separate case, and that's why it divides it between malbim techaver barabim and a case where he doesn't get white, and yet you are hurting him with your words by embarrassing him with this derogatory nickname. Now, Tosfos tells us in Divrei Maskil Chutz Migimel Shiyord Vein Oilin that it doesn't mean that these three things, the person never comes out of Gehenim, because in fact, the Gemara later is going to say that Habal Eishes Ish, Yesh Lechelik Lom Abo, so he doesn't remain in Gehenim forever. What our Gemara means to say, HaKol, Kol HaYordim LeGehenim, Oilim, they come up right away and they don't get affected by Gehenim. Chutz Mishloisha, that these three, the Orish of Gehenim is shoylet on them, even though eventually they also will have a chelek lo'olam habo. Now the Chinuch tells us some interesting things here in the mitzvah Shin Lamed Ches. First of all, he tells us the reason for the mitzvah of Shaloi Lohanis Echel Misrol B'dvorim is Kedei Lasi Shalom Ben Abrius and Godel HaShalom Shabroi HaBracha Metzuyu Bo'olam V'Kosha Machloikis. Kama clause or kama takos, tuluyus boy. There are many curses and things that can go wrong because of machlaikis, and the best way to keep shalom is that no one hurts anybody else's feelings. And the chinuch says that you should watch out even not to hurt someone, beremez, even with a hint. Ki atoyrek bida harbe boy noas advorm lefishu dover kasha ma'oid lelev abriyas. V'harbe b'neodim yakpidu aleim yoysim and amam, as we mentioned before, that people are more makbid on their feelings than even on their money. And continues the chinuch, that even when it comes to young children, you should be careful not to hurt them with words, unless it is necessary in order to give them mussar, in order to train them in the right way. He will get all these wonderful brachas if he's careful not to hurt their feelings. But if you're over on this lav, you do not get Malkus because it's a law of Shem B'Maisa. However, the Chinuch says, V'kama Malkus mibli ritzua shel egel b'yado adon ha-mitzav al zeh yisbarach b'tzal. Hashem has other sticks with which he can hit you, not a whip made from a cow skin. He can also hurt you in other ways, so you should stay away. However, now the Chinuch says a big chiddush. V'ulam l'fi adoyma. And now we're going to have two cases where one is allowed to hurt someone else's feelings. Says the Chinuch, Ein b'mashvashim bo Yisrael echav yischel v'yishir l'tzar chaver b'dvorm aroim shelo yanu ha-shayma. If somebody is hurting you with words, it doesn't mean you have to stay there and take it and not answer. She'yev sheli yoysa adam ke'evin, she'ein lo ha'efchim. A person doesn't, we can't expect from a person to be like a stone. And another thing, if you're going to be quiet, it looks like you agree to what he is embarrassing you. Means don't start. If you don't start, if you're not going to start up with other people, they're not going to embarrass you. That's the best way not to get embarrassed by other people. The only ones who would embarrass you are fools. You don't have to worry about the shaita. If people will embarrass you and you'll have to respond, and you're allowed to respond, says the Chinuch, this is one case where no zvorm is permitted to respond. Don't get in a tirade in answering. Answer very quietly. That itself will save you from more embarrassment, but you are allowed in a polite way to answer. And the Chinuch says, I'll bring you a proof that you're allowed to answer, because it says, somebody's coming to kill you, you can kill him. So the same thing, it doesn't just mean if somebody's coming to kill you, but ain't suffix lizbol an miyat ki yesh miyata. You have rishus to protect yourself. And the same thing, if somebody is shooting at you with his mouth, you have a right to protect yourself. But then, says the Chinuch, V'ulam yesh kat mibnei adam sh'oyle chasidusim kol kach, sh'lo yirtzu lahachnis atzman boi roa zu lahashiv charfeim davar. There are chasidim, pious people, they don't want to use the heter of answering those who embarrass them. Because perhaps by getting angry, this will affect them, and they want to stay away totally, and they will swallow the embarrassments that are being thrust against them. On them, the Gemara in Shabbos of Peches Amid Beis says, Hanelovim ve'enam oilvim, those who are embarrassed but don't embarrass back. Shoymin cherpasim ve'enam mishivin. They listen to their embarrassment and don't answer. Aleim akosav oimid, the Pasuk says in Shoiftim, Perakei, Pasuk lamid aleph, Shiras dvorav, oyavav, those who love Hashem, they are like the sun that comes out in its strength. So the great chassidim don't answer even when they're allowed to answer. And I'm just going to conclude with a beautiful vort that the Mefarshim say. We learn that from the sun, that the sun, when it came to its own embarrassment, the moon said that we can't have two equal kings, the sun and the moon. So the sun kept quiet, didn't respond. That was its own personal cherpa, shoymin cherpa sam. But when it came to Korach, who attacked Moshe, the sun didn't want to shine, because that was attacking Hashem's representative. That was like attacking Hashem. So shoymin cherpa sam ve'enem mishivin. A person who hears his own cherpa doesn't answer. That's a chassidus. But if a person hears the cherpa of Hashem, then he's mechuyev to respond. And on him it says, v'oyavav, those who love Hashem, kitzeis Hashemish b'gvurasei, they will not respond to their own embarrassment, but they will respond to the embarrassment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and of his shliach, who was Moshe Rabbeinu.